Welcome back to the DBM Strategy Call, everyone. This week, we are diving deep into the core mechanics of wealth preservation, the evolution of Bitcoin, and how ownership is your route to financial independence in the digital age.
Yes, this week's call is loaded with insights. If you've been feeling like the global financial game is rigged against you, the DBM model lays out a crystal clear playbook on how to opt out, protect your purchasing power, and actually thrive long term.
Let's start with the baseline premise of the model, the concept of redistributed ownership. In our current system, inflation and fiat devaluation is a stealth tax. Everyday people go out to work, whilst all the while their purchasing power is eroded by the very system they think is their only option. At the same time, and in plain sight, the asset-holding elite get richer. True, lasting financial success doesn't come from just working hard for paper currency. It comes from capturing a piece of global assets, especially those that are interconnected on decentralized ledger technology.
Exactly. But here's the kicker. Traditional entry points into asset ownership, like real estate, index funds, or private equity, have massive barriers to entry, especially in the time frame and trust commitment needed. That's where the modern solution comes in, known as owning sound money.
Sound money, specifically Bitcoin, is the ultimate base asset. It has a mathematically fixed supply, complete censorship resistance, and zero counterparty risk. But there is a really important distinction to note. Just holding sound money is only step one. Step two is where you unlock real wealth generation.
Right, and this is where the methodology taught at the DBM Academy comes in. Merely sitting on static assets protects you from supply dilution via equity growth, driven in the main by fiat debasement. But putting a portion of your sound money growth to work in reliable yield mechanisms creates an engine for exponential growth.
Yes, the DBM model emphasizes that you don't need to chase high-risk, speculative degen yields or hand over your spare capital to fee-hungry financial advisors. Instead, by taking a disciplined approach to programmatic, reliable yield, you're able to stack more sound money over time. You aren't taking on uncompensated risk. You're letting productive capital generate compounding cash flow denominated in hard money.
It's a game changer. Think about it. You're compounding your stack of an asset that is already appreciating against fiat. That combination, sound money plus sustainable yield, is the single most direct pathway to accessing redistributed ownership. You're literally shifting wealth back into your own ledger, perpetually.
Now, with this model in mind, no conversation about Bitcoin's long-term strength is incomplete without talking about network resilience and protocol consensus. It's worth addressing some of the more recent protocol debates, specifically focusing on BIP 110 and the surrounding consensus dynamics. Those more experienced in Bitcoin will know this is just the latest in a line of adjustments, which invariably lead to FUD as they're absorbed into the system.
For listeners who haven't been glued to the developer forums, BIP 110 generated a ton of debate around network standards, block space usage, and long-term security models. Some people worried these governance debates would fracture the ecosystem.
But as we've pointed out in previous calls, the resolution of BIP 110 proved the exact opposite. The outcome demonstrated the sheer anti-fragility of the Bitcoin consensus layer. The community, node operators, and miners showed that Bitcoin's social layer is just as unassailable as its cryptography.
Likewise, recently, we've also seen external factors attempting to affect the Bitcoin user base, yet again, in the form of a rather suspicious hack into a cold storage service provider called Cold Wallet. At first glance, it makes self-custody feel like a minefield for regular people, and hence keeps them away from the very solution they need.
That fear is real, for sure. But if you look closer at those headlines, the word hack is almost always misleading. Pure cold wallet cryptography, like ECDSA or Schnorr signatures running on air-gapped hardware, has never been broken by a brute force cyber attack. What the lazy mass media calls a cold wallet hack usually falls into three categories: phishing and social engineering, the user was tricked into entering their 12-24-word seed phrase on a fake website or computer prompt, A malicious smart contract approvals, signing an unknown or dangerous transaction that drained hot permissions, or supply chain or physical compromise, buying a pre-seeded device from an unauthorized third-party reseller.
So the core technology of Bitcoin itself isn't what failed. It was human error or trickery around the perimeter.
Exactly. The hardware device operated exactly as designed. It signed the transaction it was instructed to sign. But when headlines continuously broadcast multi-million dollar cold wallet hack, it creates a clear psychological outcome. It convinces the average person that holding their own private keys is far too dangerous. In fact, all that is needed is a little education around multi-sig wallet management and responsibility.
Do you think that fear framing is intentional or just clickbait journalism?
It's a mix of both. It serves a distinct economic interest to keep people inside the TradFi system. If the general public believes self-custody is an impossible standard, the logical reaction is, I need a professional custodian to protect me.
Enter the financial establishment right on cue. Spot Bitcoin ETFs like BlackRock's IBIT or Fidelity's FBTCO offer exposure to Bitcoin's price movements within traditional brokerage and retirement accounts like 401ks and IRAs. Corporate treasury proxies such as MicroStrategy provide levered equity exposure to Bitcoin balance sheets.
When fear dominates the self-custody narrative, retail investors naturally default to these kinds of products, just as they do in the fiat system, before wondering why they're being taken for a ride, often decades after they fell for the initial narrative. Are people lazy, ill-informed, or just lacking education and confidence?
Exactly. The average person succumbs yet again to hasty emotion and centralized influence. Bitcoin's core protocol is tighter, safer, and more resilient than ever before. The network proved once again that it cannot be easily coerced or swayed by single factions, even those driven by manipulative institutions and governments.
Yes, once again, all this noise simply reinforces the fundamental thesis. Bitcoin is the hardest, most secure monetary network humanity has ever built. And when you combine a protocol that gets stronger through stress tests, like the outcome of BIP-110, with the yield strategies outlined by the DBM Academy, you get an unbeatable financial framework, if you are prepared to put the initial work in and not be frightened off by the slightest change or latest mass media FUD.
If you're educated and committed, you can get protection against fiat degradation, exposure to asymmetric upside, reliable cash flow and hard assets, and absolute peace of mind knowing the underlying network is rock solid.
That's the real takeaway. Stop playing a rigged game with soft money. Lock in your digital property rights and build a systematic yield approach.
Couldn't have said it better. Head over to the dbm.acdmy to dive deeper into those mechanics and master your own financial sovereignty.
Well, that's all for this week's deep dive, folks. Be sure to hit subscribe so you can access the weekly part two section of the DBM strategy call, 11 a.m. UTC every Monday. This week, we're doing our usual assessment into the main yield-creating platforms we have worked with since the beginning of this decade, and how the power of consistent vesting, noting, and staking is realized and managed by professional digital business owners. See you there, and see you next time.